call this February 10th, 2020, regular session meeting to order. Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach.
Here.
Commissioner Day.
Here.
Commissioner Robertson.
Here. All rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a prayer from Pastor John Richards.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your work of grace in our lives. Thank you for our nation, the freedom that we have, and all those that serve to make that possible. We thank you for our county and all those who lead and try to make a difference and do a good job at it. Just pray for your blessing all upon all of them. Thank you for the way you have blessed us right here in Preble County. And we pray for that continued blessing to rest upon each one, each business, each family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
We have public comments, approval of minutes, financial considerations, correspondence reports, agreements and contracts, travel requests, approval of vouchers, a meeting. We have 9:30, the first public hearing for FY 2020 CDBG programs. At 10 a.m., the Sewer District 6 kickoff meeting with CDM Smith. And 11 a.m., Brian Butcher, personnel. Kim, are there any additional items?
No, at this time.
At this time, I will open public comment.
Good morning, Jared Wick, West Valley. I delivered two written complaints to the health department this morning. Took copies to the prosecutor's office. The trailer park is expiring. He had a 30-day notice to fix the problem out there. I was out there Friday, which was 31 days, took pictures. I filed another written complaint. I was talking to Eric Merritt over there. And he's saying now that the county has no jurisdiction over ditches from the trailer parks that are flowing into our streams because the genesis of the problem is, it goes back, the state assumes all authority. And he said what I've been saying, that the EPA is, the reason they haven't done anything or the health department on this matter is because they're forcing the sewer district. They keep saying that the sewage systems are failing, and there some are, and the ones that are failing, that's a health department issue. But as I've said before, this has just been a conspiracy from the get-go with the health department and the EPA. They refuse to do anything. No one's been fined, no one's prosecuted, because it just reinforces their position of the sewer district. So, you know, the bureaucrats in the county aren't going to do anything, nor is the state. This is, you know, the fix is in. I said that 2 years ago, the fix is in. So, you know, I wanted to let you know I took those out. I know I'm fighting a losing battle, but I'm going to keep fighting. Real quick, back in January, Kyle Cross was in here and said in the article in the Register Herald that they could start the sewer district project in 2021. Now, the grant that we just got from the Department of the Army Corps of Engineers, mm-hmm. is that for the feasibility study?
That's for the design.
Okay, yes. So why are we designing a system if we haven't determined if it's affordable? Or do we have to?
We have to design it to see how much it's going to cost, and then that's when you decide the affordability.
Okay, is CDM, have they got any state money for what they're doing? Or is that county money?
Well, I mean, we're using the Army Corps money.
Actually, it's federal money.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Federal money.
So that CDM is, now, what? Is CDM doing the design?
Mm-hmm. Engineering design, yes.
Okay. So, for the record, no money has been let out, no bids have been let out for any contract work for the sewer district. Is that correct?
Right.
No. Except for the design.
Okay, but I mean, as far as contractors haven't been called or contacted, bids
we don't
let
even
out, none of that's being, you know,
We don't even know what we're doing yet.
No, we have to. You have to have a design before you can put it out for bid. You can't. We have to design something so we know what we give out for bid. Here's what we want you to bid.
Is this going to be an open process? Is there going to be meetings, public meetings, where these people,
yes,
like before?
Yes.
Is those notices going to be in the paper or?
We have to give. Is it 24-hour notice, 48-hour notice for these meetings? I don't know how many meetings we have to have.
At the meetings be here, or will they be in a public arena? Will they be here?
They'll be here. Basically, as we go through design, they will come in and give us options or updates, things of that nature.
Is the commissioners going to say on them about meeting their deadlines?
Sorry, say that again.
Are you guys going to say a CDM and make sure they meet their deadlines?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they don't have a very good track record.
No, they do not, and we are very aware of that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Any more public comment? This time I'll accept an approval of the minutes.
Move to receipt. Consider approval. Signed journalization to receive the CD recordation, both as the official minutes and the February 5th, 2020 regular session meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Financial considerations, I'll accept the motion to receive as the amended certificate, reference CASA, GAL, grant, $19,317.37.
Move to not receive the amended certificate.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 129, reference authorized payments, soldiers relief, $2,587.70. Sheriff, $1,705.50.
Move to approve Resolution 129.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 130, reference transfer of funds, various departments.
Move to approve Resolution 130.
Second.
From JFS, line item transfers, a debit of $10,019.58 to Human Services Bond Retirement, transfer receipts, a credit of $10,019.58. From General Miscellaneous, line item contingencies, a debit of $12,000. To commission, line item contract services, a credit of $12,000. From general miscellaneous contingencies, a debit of $42,494.75. To economic development, Pearl County Development Partnership, a credit of $42,494.75. From general miscellaneous transfers, a debit of $21,089. To victim witness, transfer receipts, a credit of $21,089. Capital improvements, equipment, a debit of $100,000 to the sheriff, line item equipment, a credit of $100,000. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 131, reference authorized expenditure of $73,250, purchase of two 2020 Chevrolet Tahoe 4x4 cruisers, Sheriff.
Move to approve Resolution 131.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 132, reference authorized expenditure, $28,537.58, purchase and installation of emergency lighting and safety equipment for two 2020 Chevrolet Tahoe cruisers, Sheriff.
Move to approve Resolution 132.
Sorry.
Any further discussion? Can we call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Accept a motion to approve Resolution 133, reference authorized expenditure $29,000 for the purchase of a 2016 Superior Broom DT-80K engineer.
Move to approve Resolution 133.
Second.
Further discussion? Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 134, reference moral obligation various departments.
Move to approve Resolution 134.
From JFS to Universal Transport, $11,440.57. From Marriage License to YWCA of Dayton, $2,040. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 135, reference authorized expenditure of $10,314.55, upgrade of the security system software at the Preble County Courthouse, Sheriff's Office, and the landfill.
Move to approve Resolution 135.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. I'll accept a motion to approve Resolution 136, reference amending resolution number for Resolution number 65, approved on January 15th, 2020.
Move to approve Resolution 136.
Second. This is for?
Well, we have two resolutions numbered 65. We did an additional at the end of the day on the 13th. And then when we started on the 15th, we hadn't crossed it off, so we have had 265. So
Okay. This
will change the number for resolution, the second number 65,
to 128.
No, it'll actually be changing to 128.
Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. So we have resolution 136 changing resolution 65 to resolution 128.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Fortunately, it doesn't happen very frequently.
No, that's good. Correspondence and reports. Accept a motion to note receipt of the report from JFS. Reference CSEA depository account bank reconciliation for January 2020.
Note receipt of the report from JFS.
Second.
Previous statement balance was $2,435.25. There were 20 deposits for $17,531.47. Checks written, 20. Checks written for $14,291.47. Statement balance of $5,675.25. No outstanding deposits. There are two outstanding checks for $4,457. So with an ending balance of $1,218.25. Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve the two legal ads and reference zoning cases 1499 and 1500 to be heard on March 4th, 2020.
Move to note receipt having sole approval of the two legal ads.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and consider adopting a policy to the Preble County Personnel Policy and Procedures Manual, reference personal leave policy.
Move to note receipt approved by adopting policy to the Preble County Personnel Policy and Procedures Manual.
Second.
Discussion. This is the if you work four consecutive months without using any sick leave, you will earn 8 hours of paid personal leave. Can Can you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Agreements and contracts. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference FY20 crack and seal agreement with J&A Constructions, Inc., $96,925.50 engineering.
Move to note receipt evidence for approval by signing the agreement.
Any further discussion? Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference FY20 aggregate agreement with Wysong Gravel Company, $2,000 engineer.
Second.
Further discussion? Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing 5 agreements. Reference equipment maintenance agreements with Ohio Cat, 420F backhoe, $8,746.49, 826K trash compactor, $15,464.45, D5K2 dozer, $7,485.25. The 963D track loader, $11,958.71. 320EL excavator, $7,430.55.
Move to note receipt evidence for approval by signing the 5 agreements.
Second.
Further discussion? Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Travel request. I'll accept a motion to approve the following travel requests. Resolution 137. Bob Baker Building Maintenance has requested permission to attend various BLCCA meetings in various locations in Ohio throughout 2020. Cost not to exceed $125.
Move to approve Resolution 137.
Second.
Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. And at this time, I will accept an approval of vouchers.
Move to note receipt of the vouchers as submitted by the county auditor, excluding the 173, 173,
794.
Sorry. Real quick,
on
the mileage, what is our actual mileage?
Well, when we adopted our personnel manual, it was set at whatever the IRS rate was, and it turned out that this year the rate went down. Last year it was 58 cents.
So what is it? Okay, so 57.5 is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
57.5 is 7.75.
7.75.
Okay.
No, it's 57.5.
All right.
So 57.5. Okay.
That's my IRS.
Didn't we used to be less than that, and we upped it this year to the IRS? Didn't we? Wasn't we below it?
Last year when we upgraded the personnel manual, we set it at
IRS rate. And that was because of fuel costs and insurance and everything. Okay.
So people are going to have to learn to check
mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Tim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Somebody told me it was 3/4
No, we went out and checked.
Okay, that's fine.
It's 7.5.
I don't
additional items?
We have an ad that is the wraparound coordinator position for FCSD. We just need to know receipt of it. The position will be housed out of JFS, but it will be an FCSD employee, and then we'll be taking care of the payment. But we thought that maybe we should at least know receipt of the top one ad so that we have a trail of how it got there.
So I will accept a motion to make receipt of the Health Wanted ad for the wraparound coordinator.
So moved.
Second.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
We received a certified letter, which is a public notice to the Board of Commissioners concerning Wilton House Place. This is the development that is being built down there next to the Council on Aging, the 55-plus housing. It's it will be a development of 48 rental apartments for seniors 55 or older, for households to earn at or below 30 to 60% of the area median income. It's just noticed that they're applying for federal dollars, and because part of them are coming from the OHFA, the Housing Finance Authority, you have the right to submit any written comments or anything that you want concerning this project. They're not asking for any money or anything, they're just notifying you this is what you're doing, this is the kind of funding they're looking for, and because of the kind of funding that they're using, you have the right to submit any comments or concerns where you submit to. So it's a requirement for them.
Okay, so we need to note receipt of this letter?
An informational thing, and I, if you guys are interested, I'll make you copies of this in case you have comments if you want to send off. If you have comments as a board, then yeah, I'd probably send that through here. But at this point, it's kind of like the public hearing is something that they have to do.
Okay. Anything else?
Just let you know that you're going to have to renew the SSL certificate for our exchange server. And that's what cost us $2,800. We'll do that through the TGI.
Okay.
And copies of Soil and Waters minutes. And I have them here. Building and maintenance says that they are basically done with 125 South Cherry
Street. Oh, good. Okay.
So I'm assuming. We haven't ever officially said so, but everybody just assumes that victim witness is going to be there. They're making plans, so I thought I should let you know before, you know, everybody's just moving along without any input from you guys. But what I'm hearing is the building is done, and victim witness is planning on moving in.
Can you schedule time to get involved on the 20th?
Okay. And I'm pretty sure we discussed them moving.
Yeah, that's what I said. Everybody, you know, it's been a discussion. I think it was kind of a known thing, but, you know, officially.
Right. We are officially saying that. Soon. So anything else until
not right now.
started?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got a few minutes.
Can we recess for a minute?
Sure. Recess, yeah. Kim, I will turn this meeting over to you.
Okay. This is the first public hearing for the program year 2020 CDBG programs. It's considered a general hearing, so we'll touch on most of the funding that's available to the county. The one we'll focus on is the allocation, because this is the year that Preble County does receive allocation dollars. The program is set up to have in the current year will be a minimum of $150,000. Last time we got funding, it was $170,000, so I look for us to at least get $170,000, and we always hope that we get more. But they haven't given us any figures yet, so that's what we're looking at. Okay, there is a variety. Like I said, this year we will be eligible for allocation funding. That means that we are also eligible to apply for the competitive neighborhood revitalization program. That's only available when you have allocation funding. So we can apply for two neighborhood revitalization programs. The critical infrastructure program is also a competitive program. It is available regardless of whether you're getting allocation or not. It is open every year. The first round first round application is due the same time that the allocations are. The next one is usually due sometime in November, and then there will be one after the beginning of next year for the critical infrastructure if they still have money available. We currently have an active critical infrastructure, so we can only apply for one of those this year until we get one closed. Okay, City of Eaton will probably be submitting a joint application for them and the county for the CHIP program. They applied last year but weren't successful, so I believe they're going back again this year for that. Part of the other kinds of funding that are available, they have economic development, loans and grants. Most of that is going to have to run through. If you want economic development grant to help a business, that has to go through the county. If you're looking at their residential public infrastructure grant, that can be handled by the individual villages. So those are out there. And they also have programs called Targets of Opportunity, which is where they move the old downtown revitalization. And those are open year-round also until they run out of money. They're available every year. The Economic Development Target of Opportunity funding can be applied for by the various municipalities, but the downtown revitalization has to go through the county. And I think the limit on that one is $250,000, and the most that they can do is five buildings. That back because it just is a complicated program. And there's some others there for housing, which we typically don't get too into, but if anyone has questions, we will find out what you need to know. And there's one for fair housing, but that's usually just for the actual applicants. So as far as the county's 2020, we are scheduled to have our second public hearing on these on March the 18th at 1:30 in the afternoon, because the applications are due to the state on June the 17th. So it usually takes a while to get everything together. We have what's called a CDIS meeting this Thursday here in the chambers at 10 o'clock. It is a public meeting. It does not have to be a commission meeting, it just has to be open. And the entities or people who represent them that are interested in submitting any projects that fall under the CDBG umbrella within the next 3 years need to attend the meeting and at least provide information on the projects that they're looking at, submitting, and the timeframes that they're looking at, the types. The state started requiring this so that we could get more into detail on the actual requirements of each competitive program, so that hopefully they're getting better applications at the state. So we'll go over in more in-depth the type of requirements for each of the competitive grants at the CDIS. And then the applications for the county to consider are due by, are due here in our office by noon on February the 28th. And that'll give us time to kind of review them and get the commissioners out to look at the projects that are submitted before we have our public hearing.
Mindy, do you have any questions?
Okay. A little more time?
There's a reason why I'm shortening times here.
So I don't know if anyone else has done the math. Not that we're not grateful to the state for this program. It's taxpayer money coming from the state. So it's not that we're not grateful to the taxpayers for this money. But doing this every other year we've actually been shorted money doing it every other year. Because I'm looking back at the historical amounts that we've gotten, and I mean, we've got in FY10, we got $176,000 just in that year. So, I'm sure it's an advantage to the state.
It started going down after that.
Well, it did, but even at that, you're talking at least for the last few years, it's been about $100,000 a year, and now we're at 170. So
that's true. Part of that was brought about by the fact, though, that some of the counties, because the allocation money is based on what the percent of LMI people, the census says you have in your area.
Right.
Some of the counties were getting barely enough money to even do one project.
Okay.
And especially some of the smaller ones that didn't have much to begin with anyway.
Right.
So there were meetings and trainings and stuff done, and it was decided that everybody should get a minimum amount. And at that point in time, the minimum amount was set at $75,000 because it was every year.
Okay.
So that would allow these other counties to actually be able to do something that would make
a significant project.
So once they started going to that, then it turned out that everybody was getting cut way back and they weren't being able to. And then when they combined them with the competitive grants, which are always a two-year one, you had allocations that had to be done in a year. At the same time, you got competitive grants that were had 2 years, and I think it was just entirely too confusing. So they just said, okay, we're splitting this, and it's 2 years for everything. Because most of the time they were using allocation money to leverage the competitive grants.
Right.
So,
and that's how we do it. And I get that. It's just when you look at the numbers, it's I guess we're getting less money.
Well, they gave us more competitive programs, so actually we probably in Preble County, I don't know how anybody else is, but in Preble County we probably made up in the competitive grants.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay.
You have to also take into consideration that the projects, when this started in 1982, dollars went a lot further, and I just know in my dealings with the program, projects kept, we go from that in 82 that you could get a lot done to the today. You know, if you're to work on a street project, you're getting 100, 150 feet of street. That's it. Where you used to get 600 to 1,000 feet. So they haven't pumped any additional dollars into this program either. And that's the one thing that people don't understand is with inflation, it's going this way.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any questions, comments?
The only other thing I'd say is that since 1982 to date, the county, people in the county, all the consultants, Kent, has greatly benefited from, and I didn't settle this up this year, probably somewhere between 13 to 15 million, because I think it was around 13 last year. That has been pumped into the county over the last 30 years, 30 plus years.
And just within the last 2009, when we started the competitive program,
anything else, anybody? All right, so we can go ahead and close this public hearing. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Mindy.
Thanks, Mindy.
Thank you, guys.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you. Yeah. Don't you know any of my people really?
Until our next meeting, Kim, do you have any additional items?
Well, I have something for consideration and then possibly a business item. Becky sent down a request to, she has been doing interviews and she has chosen someone that she wants to hire for the intermittent position of the social service navigator for the opioid grant that they got out at JFS.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is, it says it's an intermittent one and it's funded by the grant. So it only lasts as long as we have grant money to do it. And we have limited the hours to no more than 25 hours a week for the person. So that being said, she is recommending that they hire Tony Morgan at a rate of $16.69 per hour. And of course, there will be no probationary period because it is an intermittent position.
Time?
As to my understanding, that was the only place she was working in, and she has on her application that she is not planning on quitting from Habitat for Humanity position.
Nothing wrong with working two jobs. Hats off to her. I entertain a motion to note receive the letter and approve by signing.
Sorry.
Any further discussion?
So this will be an intermittent position?
Yes.
And she's well aware of when money goes away, it goes away. Yeah.
Everyone's aware of that.
They should be. Yeah. Okay. I know Becky is. We had conversations several times.
But that sometimes becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm. And if there is no probationary period.
Any further discussion? Would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Second.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Second.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner
Can we call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creach?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Do you want all these, Cam?
I'll probably just put them in a file. Did you draft a response or anything, or did you just do that?
Do you have any additional items? Feel 5 minutes.
No, not really. Not for just 5 minutes.
So who's coming in, Kyle and CDM?
CDM.
I mean, just those two?
I don't know. Julie's been dealing with them, so
okay.
I don't know how many people are coming in with CDM. I mentioned that name. The role will be here.
Just walked in the door.
In.
For this project, I'm the proposed project manager, which means I'll be managing the administrative efforts we're supposed to be with Mr. Cross as we advance the project, checking in on schedule and budget, making sure that we're in scope, that we agreed. Randall Aborn, also in the Cincinnati office, is the project technical leader. He's going to be driving the technical work for the design of both the sanitary sewer pipe and the so as far as the project management administration goes, we have two amendments. At this stage, we're talking about progressing the work on both amendments simultaneously. Amendment one was for the design of the sanitary sewer pipeline. Amendment two was for the design of the wastewater treatment facility. The scope review we're going to go through. We're going to generally talk through each task as it applies to both of these phases. It's most helpful to think of these as two separate phases from the perspective of construction. But for now, we're treating them as on the same overall schedule. We're waiting for the same information to move forward with the design, both the pipeline and the administration. So quickly, I wanted to go over our project management administration. I want to make sure that we all understand project communications. Brandon and I sit very close to one another and talk very frequently. If you need to get something from one of us, you can get something to the other, and we'll get either of us you can communicate with either of us.
And Brandon's probably a key on the lack of communication with us.
Yes, I agree. Yes. So now you have two avenues. If you need to get an answer to something, you commit and we will get you an answer quickly, even if that answer is you don't have the information you're asking for. We'll get it to you within such a timeline. And what we'd like to do is deliver on that timeline enough frequently as we don't feel good about what we're doing. We'll also provide you with another contact person, someone above both Brandon and I, in the, let's imagine a case where neither of us gets back to you in an adequate amount of time. That person can involve.
Okay.
But we want to be accountable to you for this work. We propose, if Brandon and I are going to send any sort of email communication, we'll likely include the other copy. Every communication we send, we expect to at least include Kyle and Julian on copy, unless there's anything you might have added to that list. I'd like to prevent flooding your inboxes with emails unnecessarily. But I will do that to Kyle. If we get a one-on-one communication, feel free to do that. If, say, for example, Julie sends an email directly to Brandon, Brandon will send a message directly back, but if something needs to be involved, that will happen, and then we'll move on. So, I have another couple of copies of the as far as document control, we recommend using a SharePoint site. Julie, I committed to trying to get you last week. I didn't get it to you till this morning.
Yes, I got it this morning.
Okay.
So I've actually referred that to our IT people after seeing what they can make doable.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't heard about people like that.
What if that works? We'd like to set up a cloud-based workroom using Microsoft SharePoint. So what that's going to provide is a place where we put project documents, the most recent project schedule. And it's pretty, like, it doesn't take us very much to set it up. We set it up for a lot of different projects. But you'll go to a home page and then have buttons you can click, and it'll take you right to the most recent schedule. You have another button you can click, and it'll take you to a form. It'll help you set up alerts, so if anything is posted to that room, it'll send you an email indicating that it's there. You can be as in touch with the project in that respect as you want to be, or as little as you want to. Different options there. If that works with your IT, that's our preferred way to share information rather than having a task list floating around in emails that, you know, which is the most recent and all that.
Right. So will we always set up for access to that then?
I sent it off to DCGI this morning to see if that's even with like all our like web filters and stuff like that, because even something that we would do with Evernote server into ours before we went much farther, I wanted to make sure that was even okay to you. So if they send us back saying yeah, then it should be. But let us know.
If you are able to use that, we would ask you to request some information and ask the folks to that location. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It's easier to email them. Overall schedule, on the first page of each amendment, we came up with an anticipated milestone list. We start with a project kickoff meeting occurring this morning. The next deliverable shown here is the 30% design, including the basic design, drawings, and the specifications and the contracts. We anticipate that coming in late June. So that, in order to make that, we're going to be getting in touch with our subcontractors, getting your critical path items sorted, and all of which we'll cover under the action items and next steps portion of this agenda. But I did want to bring your attention to that milestone today. I guess very quickly I should say that Brandon and I have talked about there being three critical success factors for this job. The first, maintaining compliance with the schedule. track our progress against that critical success factor, whether or not we're succeeding, is evaluating our progress against this schedule. So Brandon and I will be developing a more in-depth Gantt chart as an goal on the SharePoint site, the accessible to any of the goals as we move ahead. But as part of our progress meeting, one of the agenda items we're going to have is how are we doing on schedule? And that's going to address that critical success factor. Second is affordability. Project affordability is a big concern. Each stage, we're going to be focused on how can we keep costs low. That includes power costs, sub-consultants costs, it includes construction costs. Construction costs, obviously, is the biggest portion. That's where we're all going to be really focusing our attention. Leading into that, of course, is what is ultimately going to be necessary to get something that's constructed. We are going to be having a discussion point at each progress meeting to talk about where we think construction costs look today. Most troubling thing you see on projects like this is the cost steadily going up. As you're starting to refine your focus and understand what you need, suddenly you're realizing things you didn't realize before. Things are coming into focus, problems are coming into focus that you didn't know were there before. It's not uncommon for that to be the way that this goes. I'm letting you know that we're going to try to keep that from happening.
I think what we need to be careful too is not to keep our costs low and then they're high, because we don't want to make it look affordable and not be affordable. I mean, we've got rocks out here, Stone Ridge and where Jerry lives, and we've got cars, we've got rocks bigger than cars. And to the, I mean,
yes.
You talk about cracking the price up, you start running into boulders, mm-hmm. and it's a boulder, it's part of boulder though. So, I mean, I don't want you to err on the side of being conservative.
Sure.
Because my advice is a lot, I think.
Well, you need to err on the side of reality.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have a rocky ground to deal with, then we need to.
I'd rather you go in high and say, hey, we're going to be able to do it low budget. Then go in low, you start a project and make seed budget. I guess, is that?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was hearing. I don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want to live in
here. Right. What we would do, with, for example, with the rocks, so we'll have a geotechnical sub, and we have one already on our team that will go in and we'll take borings at certain spots where we'll be putting the plants or along the sewer. So we'll have a good idea of what we're dealing with under the ground. When we start to do these construction cost estimates throughout the project, what we do is, let's say the 30% design, we haven't really progressed through the whole, we haven't looked at everything yet, so we'll include a contingency, so we'll come up with what we think it's going to cost, and then there'll be probably about a 30% contingency attached on the bottom of that for things that we just haven't gotten to yet, we haven't learned yet, we don't have all the geotech information yet. And as we progress through design and we learn more and we feel pretty good about ourselves, that contingency will eventually go down from 30 to 20 to 10, and so eventually we'll get ready to bid the thing. We feel like we have pretty much everything taken care of. We might have zero or maybe 3 or 5%. So,
you do this every day, but this is just a
But you're right, and not enough people pay attention to
this.
This
is the older belt.
Yeah,
and what are you saying? I understand that you're doing the geotechnical, but keep in mind that's a hole that's this big around.
Yeah.
And if it's here, you can have ideal conditions. If you moved it here, we could be hitting those boulders he's talking about. So the native geology is going to need to be taken into account more so than just what an isolated hole in the ground with 6 inches in diameter.
We got a farm up there less than half a mile, and we've literally dug around the rock and covered back up.
Okay. How deep? 2 feet.
Yeah, when you start seeing a rock.
Yeah.
It's not
worth it. It was that shallow, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, on top of the rocks, it looks like you pick it up and you start digging around it. Yes, once it's the size of this table, you go, hey, we're not taking this rock out, we're just going to farm around it.
Right.
That's what we're dealing with.
Can I say something? There's a rock on my property, and I live in Stone Ridge, and it's aptly named. There, when you pull into my driveway, there's a rock about that big around. And when they were building my house, we went 8 feet in each direction. From that point, never got to the end of the rock and went down 7 feet and never got to the bottom of it. That's what you're dealing with.
You've got elephant rock in your backyard.
And elephant rock, county landmark. Well, it's on the other property.
You
get
it.
But it's as big right here.
It's
on top. So I guess, and the project in Phillipsburg, where the EPA had come in and forced them to put it. They missed all the granite and rock from it. It doubled the project, and it delayed it like 15 months. So, serious issues.
Wanted to make sure you had that information.
We'll discuss that.
Yes.
It's a comment at your point. You drill a hole here, I don't really tell you what. Before I advance, is there any other critical success factors I want to make sure we get documented at this stage? It's something that, just the sort of topic we want to bring up each progress meeting and make sure that everyone on the team has your priorities in mind. Curtis Strickland? What is it, a company or?
Curtis Strickland is an individual who works for ARCAT.
For who?
ARCAT.
A-R?
That's R-C-A-T. Some utilities out there that have a staff of dozens. And when those utilities are competing against county staff, they might have one person to try to secure funding that's offered statewide. Oftentimes, the smaller communities can feel major disadvantages. They
sure
don't have bandwidth. ARCAP is a. It's
like a clearing.
State funding.
Like a clearing.
Yes.
Where okay.
He's trying to get funding out to.
Sure.
The
sure. Yeah.
here, so we can work on your schedule.
I don't have our email pulled up on this one. Where are other monthly meetings? I know you got JFS, Landfill, EMA.
Well, okay, how about this? Let's just get you guys working out and just give us a regular date time for me.
Yeah. For the on the calendar. So I'm thinking Mondays are going to be your best, because what we try to do Wednesday is as the meetings.
Okay.
But I think for this one, we might be better to look at Mondays.
I would prefer it being on one of our meetings.
And you just want a phone or a pager? Are we going to try to see, is that one of those things that we've talked about before, using the Skype? Is that one of the ones you were talking about?
We use Skype. We've actually moved out of those things in Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, that was what you sent me.
Yes.
We were use it that way too. So it would just have to be phone.
We can use that just as a simple conference call number, but if you do have a screen and we're trying to show something on the screen, you can project it.
Okay. It's something that they were talking about, but I think it's kind of neat where they could actually instantly show you different things on their like program.
Well, and that would be
where you can see it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, I know our laptop here does it, but like mine has webcam, so I can always just use my laptop and just do webcam.
If it doesn't work, we'll send you materials ahead of time and print them.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what we're looking at.
Yeah, let's try that. Okay.
Maybe
there's more to mention as well.
Yeah. Huh, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. He's just a little old.
Don't work that out. Well, that's good. We have a game right here. That would be perfect. And like, it's just a screen. But all right. Go ahead then. You guys work that out. Let's go.
Sure. We'll talk a little bit about quality management. Our firm focuses a lot on quality management. This is something that actually falls under Brandon's purview on the project. Brandon, do you want to talk a little bit about our quality
Yes.
process?
Yes. So we're what we do with every major design deliverable, 30%, 60%, 90%, we get an unbiased advice of someone who's technically sound in these areas to take a look at what we're designing, to make sure we're thinking of everything, we got everything covered. The idea is, and the results we see is that this ends up resulting in much less change orders during construction. So we spend a little bit more time, we get people who are knowledgeable, experienced on the subject, and we want them, without knowing anything else about the project, to come in and see what we've done and ask questions and point things out for us. It's easy for us to get blinders once we're getting into this stuff. So we take it really seriously, something we're kind of proud of, because we see across the board where when you get into construction, our change orders are generally much less than our competitors. So that's real money. So again, we take it seriously. We spend time at the 30%, 60%, and 90% doing
height, or we forgot to add this height?
Yeah, so I guess if we were to say, look, we...
That's where the money's at, put in the hole.
Right. If the contractor were to say, we know you're supposed to put it along this gravel, we're telling you it's impossible, or whatever. There's a cast line, consideration, whatever it is. So we have to cross the other side. Now there's a crossing, that's not part of the original agreement. Putting back asphalt, we're doing, you know, some traffic coordination we were doing before. All of those then would be lumped into a change. Ultimately increase the over, limit of construction.
Those change orders are due that are considered unforeseen conditions. So we'll do geotech for him, and like Kyle pointed out, that'll tell you what the ground looks like in a little hole this big at that particular location. So we take that information, we gotta make a decision. So we know the soil conditions here, we know them here, but in between, what do we assume? Do we assume that they're the same? How conservative do we be? Do we assume that rock's 2 feet deep, 8 feet deep? At some point, you can't just assume the rock is gonna be right under the grass, because then you'll come up with this construction cost estimate that's gonna be way too high and it's not gonna be realistic. So
it could be there.
It could be.
And we're going to pay for change orders, and we just went from a affordable to a not affordable.
Right.
That's the reason for me right now.
Yeah.
She will find, you might find the tooth through the handy, but
yeah.
Bad guys. And again, nobody's listened to us. We live here, we know this place like the back of our hands, nobody listens to us. So we're telling you.
Yeah.
And I hope you take that into account.
Well, and we will, and at these different milestones, what we can show you is, say at 30%, we might not have all the geotech data back yet. We should, but we'll have a pretty good idea of where would make the most sense to put the sewer for all these other factors, constructability, future access, staying in the right-of-way to avoid easements. But we might say, but hey, if we put it here, we might have to be 20 feet deep with the sewer. If we can get an easement from folks and put it in their backyards, maybe we can be 6 feet deep. So it's going to be that back and forth with you all that we're going to have to come to an agreement, just kind of knowing what we're dealing with and the risk associated with needing to be deeper in one location and maybe putting it a little bit shallower in another location. But there's pros and cons the other way. I mean, if you can get easements from property owners, is it realistic to move the sewer and put it back in people's backyards instead? I mean, most subjects are in people's backyards. There'll be a lot since they have in backyards, but you know, just if you got to get an easement from 40 different property owners, it just takes one to pull it out to kind of throw everything for a loop, and then the schedule can be put. So,
the point brought, and it's a point well taken, is you don't want, what I'm hearing is you don't want to bid this that at every juncture you go, well, this is the way to go, this would be the cheapest route. And then when you come in with a bid, and they go, oh yeah, that's a good deal, we can afford that, and then all the change order stuff, the contract doubles, now we're stuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
We'll definitely have to have a good handle as possible.
The neighborhood I live in, Stonebridge, every home, the sewerage comes out the back.
Yeah.
And I'm a retired firefighter, worked in the wastewater treatment, and industrial wastewater treatment plant for 9 years. So you run a sewer between our houses, hey, I don't have a problem giving an easement, because you go down there and tie on my sewer and 40 feet you're in the sewer. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody, if this comes to pass, which I'm fighting tooth and nail, I mean, the tidal wave's coming and I'm not snarling the other way, but I mean, that's a simple solution back where I live. You know, you don't want to run it out in front of our houses, because then you got to run out all the way around the mountain. You know, it's not a wise decision.
Also, with the cost tying into it, too.
Well, yeah. And then,
you know, I'm talking to people that's tying into the sewer, it could be 2 to 3 times what it should be.
Well, yeah.
You've got to run into a lot of rock.
Yeah.
So we got to take that into account also.
In certain applications, you know, it's almost you're going to have to need a vacuum system, because, I mean, elevation, I mean, I understand, you know, it goes downhill, you can't be doing this. So.
But that's a good point. But if we start going out there and doing these checks and realize that these big rocks, it's
we'll take it for a ride.
I'm interested now.
You guys are welcome. I'll take you on a tour of my neighborhood.
Yeah.
No problem.
That's why it's called Stone Ridge.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't you not be able to rock. I'm telling you. And I'm not over exaggerating.
Well, I mean, it, you know, it's been, maybe it's something where we start looking at vacuum sewers. Not that uncommon. But I mean, it, I mean, that would be a way, if we get into this and you all aren't comfortable with the risk, I mean, there are risks associated with vacuum.
Well, sure.
But I mean, that's just, we're going to be as flexible as we can. I mean, you all have this you know, order that you're trying to meet. And
I'll give you my contact in a minute. You call me, I'll take you guys on tour.
Okay.
I think every time we'll spend.
What's that, please?
I think every time we'll spend.
Dang, I'm showing the wall in front of the old horse farm.
The what?
The wall in front of the horse farm up on top
of
the...
Yeah.
Is that east of the creek?
Yes.
On
35,
I think
we've
seen that.
Yeah.
Big stones.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm talking about
the
entire wall.
Oh, okay.
They got them up out of the area.
Oh, my gosh. So, just, you know, something when we're talking about now is risk management. I think that there's three big documents that we're going to make sure we have on our document control website, SharePoint site. We're going to have our assumptions log. This is just a simple spreadsheet where we're tracking what we're assuming. To be updated as we move through. We're going to have our issues log, any outstanding issues and activities. We'll be tracking there. And our risk register. We've developed this risk register where essentially the idea there is we're identifying project risks like subsurface conditions, evaluating the impact that risk might have to the ultimate construction cost. Evaluating the likelihood of that. That's something that we can use together to talk through the different risks to the project, to the feasibility of the project. So one of the first things we're going to do is have a discussion with technical experts from across the country to say, well, when we do projects like this, what have we had problems with? What are our lessons learned? What should we be bringing to public health? Experience and
advice. Are we paying for that? Is that part of your professional development?
Well, the PQM is part of our project costs. It's priced into the project manager. We can make that a skeleton version if you prefer.
No, I mean, I'd rather not be putting the bill for you guys learning about problems in California.
We'll share that information with you. So data collection, we have a site surveyor on board ready to get started. Geotechnical is going to follow site survey. Environmental investigation, we have our environmental folks centered in our Columbus office that are coming out to support the project. All this prepares us for the 30% design, 30% coming in the base design memo, our initial plan profile. Get an overall outline of the route of the sanitary sewer pipeline. And we're working on site selection, trying to narrow down site selection for the treatment plant location. Again, looking back, we're hoping to have 30% BOD drawing specification table of contents by the end of June. So we're hoping to come in and be talking with you maybe in early July to hear any responses, any feedback you guys might have at the back. The 60% follows 30. That's when we take together our detailed design drawings. We're going to be using the Civil 3D AutoCAD software. Civil 3D does a pretty good job of laying out what we're finding, such that when you change the route, it essentially cuts a profile against any other pipes or material that you've discovered with your geotechnical investigation on the utility review, which helps us use our designers to quickly identify those routes. Also, each of these stages, we're going to be presenting our estimated probable construction costs. That's a yes, one of those good test factors. How are we doing? Does this still look like an affordable option? 60%, we're hoping to have to you in early September, with 90% drawings and specifications coming to you in early November. Permitting here. We're assuming that we're going to be able to get permit applications in early November, and we're assuming that we get our permits approved by early April, so that we can provide you with final bid-ready drawings in April, late April. We'd like to advertise for bids in May 2021. That's how the schedule's currently set up. And we'd like to provide a bid award recommendation in June 2021. And then we hope to have any conformed documents pulled together by mid-June 2021. These amendments take us through bidding, through the procurement, the public bid process of your construction contractors. We're showing a schedule which assumes that as soon as we're done with 100% design, you will want to bid. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I don't know if it will necessarily be the case. And maybe either we're asking for no-cost amendments just to keep our contracts active while we have a final design that's ready to go, or let's say we want to get the pipeline started before we start anything, so expending any money on the wastewater treatment. So we're flexible. For the purposes of getting the designs together, we feel that we can do everything in parallel, and we can do that pretty efficiently. But when it comes to bidding, we're going to be working with you and taking direction from Kyle on when we're going to be procuring contract services.
Quick question. We've not talked about this in a while, but there's new leadership. And I don't even know if it would be an option, but there's new leadership in the village, and one of the things that I always wanted to do was get a price comparison of having our own plant versus one of the village. Is that still an option where we could, I mean, because your predecessor didn't even contact him, or if he did, he didn't even know who he was, so he didn't make a statement of who he was and the information he was collecting. Is there any way that we can reopen that? I mean, I think we need to check with Westmelick first to see, hey, are you interested? But can we still get an idea of what it would cost to go to Westmelick versus have our own plant?
That's not within our scope. Our scope essentially is based on the idea that we've cleared certain hurdles, gone through certain gateways.
Okay.
It's not to say that we couldn't do it. We couldn't have this scope, but at this point, we're trying to pare it down.
Well, it's the best option. I don't know why we wouldn't look at it. We're in the beginning phases.
If I mean, it's easy to get, make a simple phone call or have a simple meeting.
That's what I thought.
That's
honestly what I thought.
So, I think it's fine if we, talk to them. I mean, if they say no, then
we're working in the same spot.
He
couldn't even tell me who he talked to.
If they, we'll make a call.
Well, that ain't even worth it.
I think, unfortunately, we're in a position to meet our schedule with EPA that we have to move forward. And when we received a letter from the village stating that they weren't interested, this is kind of the option we took.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fairly certain that we transferred all that to the Attorney General's with that feasibility plan. We had it put in there that West Ellis was.
So if it's more affordable to go to West Ellis, it's not.
Well, I think that we haven't put it in the.
Is that what I'm hearing? This is our project.
I mean, we can call it, ask. I think that'd be to ask for Eric to see if we can go back that way.
I don't want to say, if we go down this road, it's too late to look back.
Right. How does it work, though? I guess we have to ask Eric, can we revert back to what we originally sent the Attorney General's? Because the feasibility study.
I don't think we would have to revert anything. I think if we, to Rodney's point, is if we open that door again.
Right.
I think that at this point we haven't done anything except the papers on the table. So I think it's worth the time and the effort to make the phone call and let them discuss it again. We would revise what we said.
I'll do some checking on that because I was under the impression that Westall was interested and then we got a letter. So
were you talking about the IBI group to put the feasibility study in 2014, 2000?
No, just
West Alexandria
plant.
Yeah, but in the original plan, they had contacted West Elk. In the 2014 feasibility study, they did contact
West Elk. CM Smith, the institute, didn't contact them. They didn't get the information they needed here in the last year or two.
Okay. Yeah, but you're correct. The village voted not. They said if they took on the sewage project out here, they would put, and Chris may know more about me, but they said they would put them at an 80-85% capacity at the new treatment plant. That's what I was told by a council member.
All I'm going off of, we received a letter stating that they weren't interested. And at that point in time, because we received that, we decided that we would go on this path.
Right.
I think we would have to check with Eric, but I'm not so sure that we can, since we've already submitted all those documents to the attorneys and everything, I'm not sure that we have an option.
Well, that's why I said we probably
want
to ask
them,
not say not to, but just ask and see if it's feasible to do again.
Consider, too, is they may be interested, but economically it may not work out any more there than it does here, because if they've already designed and constructed a new plant, that this is going to overload that, and then to get it all the way across the village to that plant, that would be another cost that would be added into this. So, I don't disagree that we need to look at all options, but just dumping it into the existing system may not economically be any benefit to us.
Well, if we learn that, then we know.
Well, and my thing too, I was under the impression that they could make a decision to include us in and accept the waste because we didn't have any solid figures to give them.
They said that.
I mean, that's
we weren't giving them any information.
They didn't have enough information to make a decision that would, one way or the other, so then they said no. Is what I understood about the process. So I think it's worth a phone call. I think it's worth at least exploring. Now, I'm not sure what information they need to make their decision on, because we don't have any more information than we did then.
It was just the volume. They didn't know how much volume.
At this point, does CDM, do you guys realize, is there a number of homes that's going to be on the system? Have you went that far? Do you have a figure?
Yeah, the number that we came up with, 261 homes.
I respectfully disagree with that, but I think you will end up with more. I believe that once this design starts, you'll be in the neighborhood.
You just pay for it?
Oh, yeah. And I know we're just getting started, but are you going down Wolf Road and all that? Wolf Road, Dappler, Stover, go down Stover. You go down and catch every home on 35, and you go back Winston Lane.
Yeah, I mean, it stops,
I
think, fairly easily. You're going based on the older on, I think. It stops on
Stover. Stover, that's as far as.
Stover
to Woodside. So it won't go any farther east than Stover.
Right.
Information before, what information did they need to make a decision one way or the other?
This is how the government works. The more the merrier. I'm telling you.
And then that would be the figure status Alexander would need if they're required to tap in as it goes by.
Well, sure they will. They'll make them tap in.
Well, they will. That would be something they would have to include in what they would receive.
And when the, I don't know if the EPA is out of the picture once this project started, because then it all falls on your design, or is EPA still involved in it?
EPA will be involved for the rest of our lives.
Well, they're a corrupt organization.
Yeah, we know.
That's a whole other thing. But when they go down Wolf Road and they look down Wolf Road and see 100 homes down there, come on, guys. We know what. We know you guys are going to shoot a line down there and get all them homes. And then West Alex, when they see the numbers, 350, they're going to say no. They don't want that. Kyle brings up a good point.
If it's a matter of making a phone call,
if they
do change course and say, yeah, maybe we'll think about it, then I think we would have to kind of step back for a minute and say, okay, what the hell, where's this going to go now? But
we need to frame the phone call as we are starting down the path from the beginning. We've kicked off. We are starting to design our own plant. Right?
I'll do some check with Lee. I just want to bring it up. I want every option on the table, personally. I think it's in the best interest of those involved.
All right.
That's what I think.
So, what else?
Well, I've kind of gone backwards on these, I suppose. Again, our schedule milestones, we're looking at having bid award recommendations in June 2021, appoint documents a couple of weeks afterwards. Throughout this process, then, we're planning on having monthly meetings, monthly progress reports to you all, more frequent communication than that. We're expecting frequent communication with Kyle and Julie specifically, unless we're told otherwise. If we can maintain the document control system that I talked about, that works with your IT department, and file sharing throughout the entire life cycle of the project. Should be easy and fast. Should be operating with transparency. We're expecting on this issue of invoicing, we're expecting to send a monthly invoice following our monthly progress report. That's going to be the time materials, so it will be the hours that we spend in the invoice. I wanted to ask Brent if you want to go over any near term items. EC's impact is a critical path in this project. From that, we can also manage the next steps and get into this coming on.
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is get our surveyor out there and start to do their work. As we mentioned earlier, we're using a study solid source of engineering. And the plan is to do a survey. On people's properties, do you all typically require right of entry forms to be signed? Is it as simple as sending notices to folks? I know other counties that we work with in the area, it's a notice that we'll send to say, hey, as part of this project, we're going to be out there doing survey work, we're going to be doing homes, they'll have identification on them. But we would probably want the geotech work on with that, although the geotech work most likely be the right ones. So it's a problem. But just to kind of give everybody a heads up, because it's always going to be on we'll share with you when we, once those are out, we have a better picture of the exact real schedule, not just sometime this month, because we know the actual days. Everybody in the county side. If you want any more details on that, when they're going to, where they're going to start, where they're going to meet, and who they're going to work with, and what's going to be sort of that. But just don't want too much detail, but if you're interested in that.
Thank you.
we'll draft a notification letter for you all to review and just try to get that to you here in the next week or so. Because we want to get those out, get something.
Okay.
Either do survey work or the leaves are still off the trees. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, so there we go.
And I will call an updated certificate of insurance, which I'll be giving to you later today.
Then I will let you know about what our IT says about that other fun part. Yes,
document sharing.
Yes, document sharing. All right. So I'll give you a call later.
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson. Yes. So you guys will set something up this week and we can discuss.
Okay. Just FYI, also, I have heard from Dave again while you guys were in here, and it is a DP&L issue, and DP&L is on site right now.
Yes.
Good.
Kyle told me he got a call from Dave. That's why he stepped out. So they're working on that. But I think we need to get with Kyle. I don't know if anybody down there has got the training to kind of troubleshoot some of that, so we need to put something in place so if somebody comes in.
Well, he hadn't thought about calling DP&L, and he said, I called these people, I guess I'll get an electrician. I said, you call DP&L? I said, well, okay, I guess
that
you
was
got
my
power,
first
but
thought.
I didn't think about it being two different things coming in. But I did say, did you call DP&L?
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
I think we could put some stuff down there that wouldn't cost a lot, that they could walk in and see if it's an issue. To give them if something like that happens, it could damage a lot of equipment quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would
so
be bad.
So the first thing they need to do is shut off the power down to everything so they can get DP&L there, because if you lose a ground or single phases, you can lose a lot of equipment real quick.
That's what I told him when he's talking about it, they were working on it, and I said, well, be sure and tell them that you want to know if they're going to do anything, because you don't want to fry the one computer you still got working down there, because it's
right.
The one that scales.
Yep.
You know.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. Resolved quickly. All right. Is there anything else, Kim?
No, that's usually plenty.
Yeah. Right.
So move. Second.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Yes. Do we have a job portal on our website?
I don't think so.
I think we need it. Who does our website?
You're looking at.
Okay. Did Caitlin do
it? Is it a link?
It'll be a link.
Link.
Yeah, maybe a job
yeah,
portal link.
We should be able to do that.
Okay. We need that on there.